For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jay Crow from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com. Good morning, Jake. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, fellas. How you guys doing?
So you're going to be on vacation next week.
That's right.
So am I.
Pretty
so
excited.
But we're not we're not going together. It just happens to be one of those things where you and myself. I know, exactly. Well, you hadn't been busy, though, have you? Why are you so excited to be going on vacation?
I love vacation. I like to I like to turn the phone off and leave it in the condo while I go out to the beach and play with the kids and build sandcastles and fish off the surf and all that stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting a little sunburnt and catching a few fish and eating a lot of seafood and doing all that stuff and, you know, maybe partaking in a frothy beverage or two.
You got that right. Peach daiquiri.
Where are you going? Where are you headed?
We'll be Hilton Head.
Okay. We're not going to be too far from you. We're going to be up the coast a little bit in Curry Beach, North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know why we decided to do that this year, to be honest with you. It's the funniest thing. Somebody asked me the other day, and they're like, why are you going there? And I'm like, I don't know. I started researching beaches, and I heard it was a pretty cool, laid-back spot and very affordable. So we just pulled the trigger and made it happen. And That's where we're headed. It's about 5.5-6 hours.
Is that near Myrtle Beach? I mean, is that close to Myrtle Beach?
I think it's a little further. Yeah, obviously
further
a little
north.
Further
yeah,
from there. I think you know, yeah, like two or three hours away from there.
Oh, okay.
As far as like the Outer Banks, but it's up near. It's up near Carolina Beach and Wrightsville and stuff.
Oh,
like
wow.
That.
Okay. All right. Cool, man. Well, we'll have to get the report from you in a couple of weeks because, that's definitely a little bit different. When you get back, I know we'll be only like 2 or 3 weeks from SEC Media Days, which is kind of bizarre. What do you think it's going to be like over in Atlanta?
You know, that I'm interested to find out, you know, just because the Winfrey and you know that hotel where everything was held and Radio Row, you get used to seeing that going 4 or 5 years in a row. So I'm actually, you know, pretty excited about it just to kind of figure it all out. You know, obviously not have to make a 4-hour drive over there. That's going to be pretty cool too. Don't even have to stay the night. You know, but I think it's going to be kind of a pretty laid back media day. We got a few new coaches in the conference. A few guys, you know, in their first year at their current job, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and you know, once, you know, just kind of a way to get that fix in about 3 weeks before the start of preseason camp, and when that thing rolls around, it's Johnny get your gun, man, and you know, I know Georgia fans are hoping that once again it's 22 straight weeks without a day off.
It's unbelievable. It really is.
Now, Jake, you know, with all that coming up, obviously coaches will be grilled, and whatever players that end up going for the schools will also be in the same boat. But I think one thing that's starting to develop here every time the coaches gather is that, you know, you see it, and because we saw it this year in the national championship game, you know, Kirby Smart, the kind of new kid on the block, and Nick Saban, the old guard, and Kirby has not been shy in voicing his opinions and voicing his thoughts on certain rules and the conference and things like that, and even, you know, kind of butted heads with Saban a little bit on some of them, whether it be graduate transfers in the conference, which that one has gone Kirby's way, it seems. But this kind of seems like something that, you know, obviously a lot of respect there, but also one that's going to bud into and already has a little bit, a pretty good rivalry, hopefully, for the next, you know, long time here in terms of Georgia being successful.
Yeah, you know, I had several people down at spring meetings kind of ask me, you know, hey, do you think that's where this is headed? I really do. I mean, I think when you look at the way Kirby's recruiting and you know, the way these teams are, you know, I mean, it's hard not to envision a situation. And, you know, and this could ultimately end up being a Miami versus FSU thing. You know, everybody thought that those two teams were going to play each other in those, you know, the separate divisions there in the ACC for a long time. And it didn't happen. It hadn't happened. And maybe this is what happens with Georgia and Alabama. But it sure seems like right now these two are on a crash course for each other for a few times in the next 5 years in Atlanta. And you know, with just with that as kind of the backdrop, and then the other stuff, the kind of the talking season type stuff. I mean, you know, Kirby was even asked directly about Nick Saban and negative recruiting and all that stuff, and Destin and Kirby kind of came out and said, I think Nick's gonna outlive us all. The guy takes care of his body too well. So, you know, I think that, you know, just the stuff he's asked about Kirby, the stuff Kirby has asked about him, you know, I think it's, you know, especially when you consider the fact that, you know, maybe Jimbo's the guy that's going to kind of jump into this thing a little bit. Those two are going to go head-to-head every year. You know, Pruitt, those two are going to go head-to-head every year too, but I don't think anybody really expects Tennessee to really challenge Alabama first 2 or 3, 4 years there, you know. So it's very interesting, you know, looking at it. And like I said, having that SEC championship matchup looming, and the fact that those are the two going to be the two favorites as voted on by the SEC, I wish I could get like 2-to-1 odds on that. I would probably be able to retire, but I can't. So, but yeah, I think that's what you kind of have to look for, you know, going forward, as these two teams playing in the SEC championship game, and each coach being asked a lot of questions about the other, despite the fact that they're not scheduled for the regular season for a few more years.
Talking with Jake Rowe from Dogs 247 and 247sports.com. Let's talk a little bit about Jalen Humphreys and this verbal commitment to Florida. What's your take on all this? And, you know, is this something you think could still be flipped around with the angst from a lot of the Georgia fans? What's your take on Mr. Humphreys?
Yeah, I like him. I think that he's a guy that I think he's got all the tools to be a very good defensive lineman, but maybe one of those guys that would be a better offensive lineman if he really, you know, pointed to it. I said the same thing about Lamont Gilliard and was right. I've said the same thing about other guys and was wrong. So, you know, we'll kind of see how that plays out. But that's kind of how I look at it. I still think he can be a very good SEC defensive lineman. You know, I think Georgia might have cooled on him a little bit, though. I think Georgia's in great shape to get Trayvon Walker. I think, you know, this Derek Hunter kid out of Florida is another one they really want. You know, I think that, you know, Humphreys is a guy that if Georgia decides later on down the line they want to turn up the heat on, they've got a chance to keep him closer to home. But for now, I don't think they're too heartbroken about letting him slip away. And that's not to say that they don't like him. I'm sure they do. But you know, Georgia's reached a spot in recruiting. And they've always been this way to an extent. But a little bit of a new level now where they've got to be a little bit more selective. And even though they want 4 or 5 defensive linemen in this class, you know, I think Humphreys is a guy that they were willing to let walk if he wanted to commit that soon.
So, I mean, some people would say, like, okay, that's what you hear when you lose a guy. Oh, well, we didn't want him anyway, or we got other guys. I mean, but that you really feel like that's the rhetoric that, you know, hey, he's good, he's very good, but do we definitely have a place for him? Because how many defensive linemen do you think Georgia's going to end up adding for the class of 2019?
I mean, several. I mean, they're going to add 4 or 5, I think. You know, it's going to be a pretty high number, you know, considering the fact that Tramiel Wildflower is, you know, potentially 2 years out from being back, being in Athens, and you know, they only, you know, signed, you know, Wyatt and Davis. I mean, think about this. Malik Herring, Devontae Wyatt twice, but still only one guy, unfortunately for Georgia. And Jordan Davis in the past two classes. That's 3 defensive linemen in 2 classes. If there is a negative out of those 2 classes that rank number 3 and number 1 in the country, that's it. And so they've got to really kind of make some hay, you know, while the sun's shining when it comes to these next 2 classes, because there's a little bit more depth in the 2 classes. I don't think they're absolutely loaded or anything, but they've already went out and gotten Bill Norton. Trayvon Walker's a 5-star from Upson Lee High School, where David Marshall went. So they've got a really good chance to grab him. I think they're going to have a good chance to this Derek Hunter kid. You know, I think that, you know, C.J. Clark out of New London, North Carolina, is another guy that they're going to have a good chance at. He's going to be deciding soon. So I think if they could get those 4, they would feel great, and then they would just kind of, you know, really be selective with that 5th spot and move on to 2020. But right now, you know, they definitely want to add numbers when it comes to defensive line in this class, and they need to add across the board, defensive end, that 5 technique, the 3 technique, the nose tackle. They need all positions covered.
What's going to end up happening with the quarterback situation as far as the recruiting goes? Now Stetson Bennett's gone, so there's Fromm and Fields, but what's it looking like for Georgia quarterback-wise on the recruiting trail?
Well, they offered a kid, the kid out of Kell yesterday, Zach Calzada, who I like a lot, have for a long time. You know, I saw this kid play a couple years ago, or maybe it was about 18 months ago. I saw some, you know, saw a little bit of film on him, and I thought he's a really good player. I thought, you know, he's a very competitive kid. He's gotten a little bigger. He's gotten a little stronger. One of the things I love about him, though, is who he's coached by. Derek Cook down there at Kell is a phenomenal coach. I mean, he is a guy that when, you know, it's one of those things where when you see an offensive lineman come out of North Gwinnett, you kind of perk up a little bit, because Bob Spire did such a great job for a long time with guys like, you know, Mitch Hyatt and Juwan James and guys like that. So you kind of like, all right, well, you know, we know good players like that come from that school. This is kind of the same case here. Is any kind of offensive player comes out of Kell, you feel pretty good about them. You just think that they're going to be well coached and they're going to be able to kind of jump in and fit right in with your program right away. And that's kind of the way I feel about, you know, Kell kids. So I think Calzada's a guy that Georgia's got a good chance to get. Georgia's going to add at least one quarterback in this class, and I think if they can get him, and they can get guys to be, you know, to kind of buy in and be like, hey, you might have some red shirt, but, you know, you'll be able to compete long-term for the job here and have some time to get yourself ready. If they can sell that, I think Georgia would absolutely love to have four quarterbacks on campus. I know Kirby would, I mean, you know, Kirby would probably be a lot easier to deal with at home. You know, probably a little less grumpy, probably have a little, you know, a little bit better blood pressure and stuff like that if they could just not have to go into a season with just two quarterbacks on scholarship again, because they've done that twice, or I guess not twice. I guess they had Ramsey. You know, Ramsey did end up coming back last year, but they've been on the verge of doing that a couple times already, and that's just not a situation a coach wants to be in. I mean, I think every coach is like, you know, is in a situation where, you know, hey, if you're three plays away from disaster, that's one thing, but two plays, that's happened. It's happened a lot. And while a lot of Georgia fans want to kind of scoff at it and say, yeah, you know, what are the odds of losing to, you know, your first and second string quarterback? And, you know, they're not high, but it can happen.
Jake, I wanted to ask you about special teams, in particular the return game, because you've got obviously some players that are very good back there. You know, you've got Mecole Hardman on punts, and you've got a couple of different ways you can go with kickoffs. You know, we saw Elijah Holyfield take one back against Notre Dame, only to have it called back for a penalty. So, you know, where do you see, having all of those options, you know, where do you see Georgia going with that? Because the rules, you know, are changing in terms of being more favorable towards the kicking team. So is Georgia, because of the talent they have, still going to be one of those teams that puts a lot of emphasis on that? Because I think some teams are probably going to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely think they are, you know, especially with how consistent Mecole Hardman was last year. I mean, I don't think Hardman was a dynamic returner as much as he was. If it was there, he was going to get it. He made good decisions in terms of where to go with the ball, you know, how to set up his blocking and things like that. Was great as a punt returner and had his moments as a kick returner as well. I think the job's his if he wants it. But I will say this, you add a new element in your ability to evaluate who's going to actually do that job. Because you're gonna absolutely have to have somebody that's gonna make good decisions. You're gonna have to have somebody that you know when he's gonna have to kind of have an internal clock in his head and understand that if somebody hangs that ball up super high at the 6 yard line, that you may need to fair catch that thing and bring it out to the 25. And I think that's something that these coaches will emphasize during preseason camp. You know, you have some of these practices where these guys get out and they catch kicks before practice and spend a lot of time doing that. And I think that's something that they'll focus on. But I do think that it's going to be tough to not Mecole at that spot. I mean, even when Elijah Holyfield had that long kickoff return, he was set up as the blocking back on that return. It wasn't the Notre Dame kicked it short. They just kicked it, I think it was right. And you know, Holyfield ended up having to field it because he was closest to it. But Hardman is a deep guy. He did a really good job of that last year. And, you know, I think he's going to have to compete for it because Akeel Crumpton and Kiaris Jackson, and I think you could even see, you know, some of these younger cats get involved. But I think he's got to be the favorite to win it.
All right, Jake. Always enjoy our Wednesday chats. Enjoy yourself next week, and we will we'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Jake Rowe, Dogs 247, 247sports.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.